Welcome back to this week's version of Contrarian Thinking Crew, and apologies ahead of time for my voice. The allergies are kicking my butt at this minute. So here we go. This week, we're going to break down our and Harrison's four-step strategy for turning boring, unprofitable businesses into ones that make you up to $9 million in cash flow. You know, speaking of cash flow, that's really all we talk about in our premium crew, Contrarian Cash Flow, which seems obvious, but we teach you how to build additional passive income. Caveat, most income streams aren't truly 100% passive. Why? They take time to learn and operate. What then really is truly passive? Investing in funds that other people manage. See, we break down exactly how to find, analyze, and choose funds for 100% passive income in our most recent Contrarian Cash Flow playbook. If you want it, grab it at the link below. Oh, and happy St. Patrick's Day. So today we're going to cover a few different things. The main thing being turning a boring business sexy. Let's start out. Needles and yarn. I remember when I was 5, sitting in my grandparents' living room, watching my grandma twiddle some oversized needles with yarn that eventually turned into the scarf I'd received from her for Christmas. That was about the extent of my exposure to crochet. Who would have known that 28.8 million Americans participated in knitting or crochet in 2016, or that the crafts market itself was worth about $647 billion in 2020? It has a loyal following felt only by some sports teams, it seems, with subreddits in the hundreds of thousands, as well as Amazon search volumes up to 37,000 for some crochet kits. This 500-year-old textile craft that you associate with your grandma, perhaps the least cool thing on the planet, somehow is now the stylish and sexy thing? This is thanks in part to a guy named Harrison Richards, the founder of Furls Crochet. This guy is far from your grandma. He's young, like 24, handsome, mostly shirtless on Instagram, brings in upwards of $9 million per year making crochet needles cool again. Side note, he's British too, so that seems totally unfair. The real brilliance here, though? Turning a boring, outdated sector into a cash-flowing empire with products his people love and operations that mean Harrison is largely jet-setting around and making cool swag instead of having to run the day-to-day of the crochet business. Let's get crafty and see the framework on how you can do the same. Harrison and Frills Crochet. For Harrison, it all started, as almost anything does, with a high school sweetheart. He knew little about crochet. He'd even crocheted in middle school a little bit, insert eyebrow raise, but then he had a high school girlfriend who crocheted a lot. She kept complaining, though, that her hands hurt. So Harrison began to be kind and British and everything, made her a new furl in his parents' garage. He jetted off to Andrews College in Scotland, but quickly realized college was meh. Then he came across The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. He read it and wondered how he could implement some of the principles. He kept coming back to the crochet needles. What if he could make a boring business sexy and then teach other people to run it? He ended up in his parents' garage making more and more of them, perfecting the shape, minimizing the strain on users' hands, and crafting a kind of rad-looking crochet hook. He then started selling the handheld crochet hooks on Etsy at first, as a 19-year-old. 3 months after startup, Furls was selling a hook every other day, and Harrison got a little concerned. Feeling stalled, a friend of a friend told him to go to the 2017 Craft Guild of America conference, where Furls sold 20 hooks in a weekend, and the Rolls-Royce of crochet hooks was born. The company transitioned into different, more affordable hooks, rolling out the Candy Shop line in 2015 and the Odyssey line a year and a half later. At this point, Furls had only 5 employees and was doing about $400,000 in monthly revenue. Wow. Harrison then hired additional employees, ultimately topping out at about 23. But chasing this growth turned a cash flow positive business into a cash flow negative one. After unfortunately having to let go 18 people, the company returned to profitability and Harrison returned mentally to how to live that 4-hour work week. So he did what many passive business owners do. He hired an operator. This operator started with executing the business tasks of Furls and immediately made her way to CEO. At this point, Harrison realized something crucial for passive cash flow. He could try to stay in the business's daily operations, but he might actually be part of the reason the business almost went under. He was good at making something sexy, but then he got too aggressive. This was just a nice little business that hummed without him needing to constantly innovate. The question was, did Harrison think he was indispensable to the business's success, or could he step away giving the team he had put together? He rejected a strategic narcissism approach instead, outsourcing himself and continuing to let others run the business. You can decide if he was right or not, but Furls is now sold in at least 70 countries, and Harrison only works 3 to 5 hours a week, but racks up $9 million a year in revenue with some pretty nice margins. Turning boring into badass, how Harrison did it and what this means for you. With our stage set, 4 steps stand out to me. Let's look at them one at a time. Number 1, don't chase growth. Profitability is everything. When Ferrell's had only 5 employees, they were cash flow positive at $400,000 revenue a month. So they decided to add those 18 more people doing signs of growth, which put them into the red. It was only when the company went back down to 5 that it regained profitability. Lesson: don't chase growth at the expense of your profitability. Continue to build your product, focus on your margins, and allow growth to come naturally. See, that's why I'm a huge proponent of buying instead of building cash flowing businesses. I prefer boring businesses precisely because many of these businesses are owned by a generation uncomfortable with e-commerce, Google Analytics, etc., the gig economy, and gives you the ultimate leverage to scale. I call that the fax machine test. If the company has a fax machine, doesn't have a website, still uses handwritten notes and not a CRM, I get all hot and bothered. Lots of opportunity there. Number 2, add some bling to the boring. Crochet is an industry with a hugely dedicated and passionate hobbyist population. Chances are, though, it hasn't seen any innovation in the products in years. Lots of Ferrells that looked more like dental torture devices as opposed to fun collector's items, like how Harrison made them. By tapping into a space with many returning buyers, he gained market share by providing needles with beauty, comfort, and performance enhancements. Your play? How can you add upgrades to your business that differentiates it from the others? Number 3, know and play to your strengths. Harrison describes himself as a maker. He dropped out of college because it wasn't a place that he believed he could leverage his strengths. He took his artistic skill with wood, but didn't decide to make a traditional wood project. Crochet's hooks have for decades been made from metal and have been viewed almost solely as a tool, which is a means to an end. Harrison made them out of wood, built them beautifully, and treated them as an end in themselves. Imagine you're on an island with other people, each of whom has the exact same skills you do. To succeed, maybe even to thrive, to find an island where the inhabitants can't perform your skills or perform them less competently than you. Look to stack skills on top of each other to make your strengths and competitive advantage even stronger. For example, are you good at marketing? Buy a boring business that has no or terrible marketing and amplify its earnings. Do you understand SEO? Use that skill set to help a laundromat show up at the top of a Google search. Are you artistic? Bring your art into the e-commerce space, turning a boring object that's considered everyday into a luxury one. Number 4, lastly, ditch strategic narcissism and delegate. Harrison rejected strategic narcissism where others wouldn't. Many entrepreneurs win for a couple of years in a row and then think they're the next Steve Jobs. Most entrepreneurs say, "I built this company. No one else could possibly know more about running it day to day than I do." Instead of trying to do it all, Harrison gave his own strengths room to grow and effectively gave someone else the ability to run his company on a daily basis. He hired operators well and made himself dispensable. This allows Harrison to work 3 to 5 hours per week and focus on other maker activities while it allows his operator to earn like a CEO. He stayed in his zone of genius, which is pretty genius. In his own words, don't try to be everything to your business. Know when you can't do something, use that positive cash flow and sense of your own humility, and hire an expert. I recently wrote about this topic here. You can click the link in the blog. For brevity, I'll just include a pull quote. If you can't sleep for the want of the world you hope to build, if you would rather die than stop creating, if your mind is consumed with that irrational compulsion to labor, then do it. It was always inside you. It was always waiting for you, and there is no one else to do it, just you. You don't have to create the next Tesla. Just keep looking for everyone else's boring and make it cash flow. Until next time, crew, Cody out. One more thing. We're doing a little giveaway. Well, first, let's talk about ice vending. It sells over 1.25 billion pounds of ice annually with little labor and high margins that can make you up to tens of thousands a year. And guess what? We did a YouTube video on it. Wait a minute. What is that you say? Yes, a YouTube video. Contrarian Media will be getting another arm as I start to share stories of the everyday humans who have built up weird, wild, or boring everyday businesses to millions so you can do the same. The channel just launched yesterday, and our first video is exactly how to play the ice vending market. So here's the giveaway. To celebrate, we're doing a little something special. To grow, obviously, we need your help. So between now and next week's newsletter, if you go and subscribe to the channel, you'll be entered in to grab a private consulting sesh with me. Yeah, that's right. So bring your deals, your questions, etc. No big deal. So hop on over to YouTube, smash the subscribe button, and explore the world of Main Street. We'll see you next week.